My name is George Velekian. I'm going to be speaking for only a few minutes. This will give you enough time to finish the meal that you're enjoying. And then Professor Sandstrom will get to the stage and discuss the topic on asthma. I wanted to share in those few minutes some data that are from a recent survey that was conducted by colleagues of ours and myself, Dr. Rieshi, Dr. Koniski, and Dr. Kanj. And this was a survey that was done across the country on a random sample of 50 physicians. 25 of them were primary care and 25 were pulmonary specialists. And interestingly, I will just go over a few things that would be of pertinence to the coming talk. The distribution, like I said, was across the country, and of course the bulk was in Beirut because that's where most people are. The interesting part is that, again, like you would see in any other study from the literature, the established patients form a larger percentage of your patient population. New patients do actually form a third to some extent, and most of them are seen in the outpatient setting, so in clinics. Diagnosis of asthma, persistent versus intermittent, again, is not that far from the literature except for the exercise-induced asthma. Like I said, these were only surveys, so no input was or any interference was done with the way the physicians answered the questions. Again, persistent asthma was about a third of patients, intermittent close to two-thirds. Also, like what we see in other countries, we still rely on our clinical diagnosis to establish asthma, not on objective findings like PFTs. And in those surveys, it reflected the same thing, that a third of patients actually had PFTs confirming the diagnosis, whereas two-thirds did not have formal pulmonary function testing performed. Our plague in Lebanon is smoking, and that's a big chunk of our asthmatics, and that is something that finally today we have evidence, real-life evidence, that we can apply to our patient population, because again, a third of our patients do smoke, and they probably have overlap with COPD. Comorbidities, like we see in most studies, asthma and allergic rhinitis, it's estimated to be a bit higher than that, but in that survey it was 64%, which is, again, a significant chunk of your asthma population. With GERD, it's a bit less. That may be because of inability to establish diagnosis firmly. Level of asthma control, again, by physician perception, the chunk of uncontrolled patients is high. And that is very important. And if you look at the breakdown, whether it's intermittent or whether it's persistent, you will find that even in the intermittent section, where patients do not really have that quote-unquote difficult-to-treat asthma, a big percentage of those patients are still uncontrolled by GINA and by ACT. If you look at the persistent, the percentage is quite high. And with that, I will introduce Professor Sandstrom. He is a professor of clinical medicine and is in charge of a respiratory research team at Umeå University in Sweden. He is crucial. His work has been crucial in advancing our knowledge on pharmacotherapy, especially in long-acting beta agonists with salmeterol and formoterol. And later on, he got more involved with immune modulators, and he has over 170 publications and peer-reviewed publications. Dr. Sandstrom will be discussing with us difficult-to-treat asthma. Professor.